The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Jean Latshaw from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from various ladies' magazines. And let's get started. Kind of a little Debbie Downer here from Family Circle, The Summer Guide to Food Poisoning. That fill in the blank on the cookout buffet seemed like a good idea, but 8 hours later, as you lie with a hot cheek against the cool tile of the bathroom floor and do the backwards GI distress math, you realize it was a bad move. While you may feel all alone with your heaving, how has it not awakened a single family member? You're simply among the 48 million Americans who the CDC estimates get food poisoning every year. Once one of these microscopic baddies gets into your system, there's not much to do except let it pass, usually within 48 hours. So prevention is key, says Angie Murad, RDN, wellness dietitian with the Mayo Clinic Healthy Living Program. Follow these procedures. Keep raw meat and produce and cooked foods separate, not just on different cutting boards, but in your shopping cart too. Murad says, the meat juices can contaminate your vegetables before you leave the grocery store. Wash your produce. Fruits and veggies may have been contaminated before they even reached the store, so wash them thoroughly. The FDA says all you need is water, but scrub tougher fruits and veggies with a vegetable brush. Sanitize hands and surfaces often. Cross-contamination is the biggest cause of foodborne illness, Murad says. Always, always, always wash your hands and keep them out of your mouth as much as possible. If you're at a picnic, use alcohol-based hand sanitizer before serving as well as eating. Cook meat and poultry to the proper temperature. Be extra careful when cooking chicken, especially when you're grilling all the time in the summer. If you don't have one, buy a meat thermometer. Put leftovers away ASAP. Get them in the fridge within 2 hours, or one if the weather's hotter than 90 degrees. Swap out kitchen towels frequently. A recent study found that 49 of 100 kitchen towels had bacteria growing on them after 1 month of use. Spot the symptoms. The signs of food poisoning are so spectacularly awful that they border on the cartoonish. You might actually prefer your eyeballs popping out to whatever else you have going on. The best treatment for the vomiting, cramps, nausea, and diarrhea is riding it out, resting, and rehydrating. But head straight to urgent care if you have any of these symptoms, and they are bullet items. You're unable to drink anything due to frequent vomiting. You're showing signs of dehydration, such as fatigue, dark-colored urine, and dizziness. You've had diarrhea for longer than 3 days. There's blood in your stool, or your fever reaches 101.5 degrees. Then heal your body. Avoid taking medicines to soothe your stomach. They may actually make the problems worse. They stop the release, so to speak, but the culprit is still in your body. Instead, eat and drink whatever you can keep down, such as bananas, rice, apples, or toast, to make sure they're staying well nourished, that you're staying well nourished. The biggest concern with food poisoning is dehydration. If you or your teens start showing signs, grab a sports drink like Gatorade that will help replenish electrolytes. Applesauce, fruits, and veggies can keep you hydrated too. Once you have the symptoms under control, try to figure out what caused the food poisoning. If you suspect food from a restaurant is at fault, report it to your local Board of Health. From Real Simple, now what? Smart fixes for life's little disasters. Disaster number one, my dog always barks when someone knocks or rings the bell. Your dog may be letting you know that someone's at the door. He could be excited to see who's there, or he could be anxious, says Mikkel Becker, a senior animal trainer at Fear Free Pets in Lake Stevens, Washington. To help stop the barking, Becker suggests mat training. Knock softly on the inside of the door, say mat, and offer multiple treats when your dog sits or lies down on the mat or any non-slip surface, which should be placed in view of the door. Then reset him by tossing a treat off the mat. Repeat the process until he doesn't bark. The second or third time around, see if he'll immediately go to the mat without the verbal command. It generally takes dogs a few days to a few weeks to learn to stay quiet. I have brain freeze. That's the next disaster. Anecdotal evidence suggests that pressing your thumb against the roof of your mouth to warm the area may help ease the pain, says Amal Starling, MD, a neurologist at the Mayo Clinic in Scottsdale, Arizona. Luckily, a brain freeze is harmless and will go away in about a minute. When your body experiences a rapid change, temperature change, pain receptors activate in the head, neck, and mouth, resulting in a brief, intense headache. This may happen more frequently to migraine sufferers. The best way to avoid getting one is to slow down when eating cold foods. And our last little disaster, I'm worried my grill is almost out of propane. To easily find out how much propane is left, spray the entire outside of the tank with warm water while the grill is off, says Kevin Coleman, head grillmaster at Weber, a grill company. Wait 15 minutes and then look for condensation, which will appear as a line above the propane level. If you have a standard mid-tier grill, a 20-pound tank should last about 16 hours. The lifespan of propane also depends on how many burners your gas grill has and how often you cook. If you're shopping for a new grill, consider one with a built-in digital scale. Or you can buy a scale separately. Try GasWatch Bluetooth-enabled propane level indicator, available $30 at GasWatch.com. From Good Housekeeping, your bookshelf, the summer's best reads. Your mission, should you choose to accept it, tear through all these intriguing tales by Labor Day. First, we have a thriller called The Turn of the Key by Ruth Ware, W-A-R-E. Roanne Kane fibbed a bit to land a job as a highly paid live-in nanny, but the financial perks come with unforeseen consequences like being accused of murder. As she awaits trial, she wonders who's actually responsible for the child's death and how to prove her innocence. Next one, The Most Fun We Ever Had by Claire Lombardo, L-O-M-B-A-R-D-O. Set in Chicago and spanning nearly half a century, this poignant novel follows the Sorensen family, including four daughters, as they navigate life's setbacks. An unexpected visitor adds an air of mystery to this dazzling debut. A family drama called Searching for Sylvie Lee by Jean Kwok, K-W-O-K. Sylvie Lee flies to the Netherlands to see her dying grandmother one last time, then disappears without a trace. Retracing Sylvie's every step, her younger sister Amy finds out more than she'd ever imagined. A gripping story about love and family secrets. Next, under the heading Fantasy, Supernatural is the another category here. Magic for Liars, the title, by Sarah Gailey, G-A-I-L-E-Y. Detective Ivy Gamble must put aside sibling resentment to investigate a murder at the school where her magically gifted twin sister teaches. A sci-fi fantasy called Recursion by Blake Crouch, C-R-O-U-C-H. In this epic page-turner, police officer Barry Sutton investigates a mysterious phenomenon afflicting New Yorkers that drives its victims mad with memories of lives they've never lived. A rich, descriptive mind-bender. And a dystopian fantasy called Dark Age by Pierce Brown, the fifth novel in the best-selling Red Rising series, picks up the story of Darrow, now cast out by the Republic he founded years before. A family book called Keeping Lucy by T. Greenwood, G-R-E-E-N-W-O-O-D. Ginny Richardson's husband pressures her to send their baby, born with Down syndrome, to a special school for the feeble-minded. After Ginny discovers that mistreatment is rampant there, she'll stop at nothing to bring her daughter home. A reimagined classic, Pride, Prejudice, and Other Favors, by Sonali Dev, D-E-V. Neurosurgeon Trisha Rajay, the black sheep of an immigrant Indian family, can't seem to please her parents. In this modern retelling of the classic tale, she sets out to prove her worth to them and herself. And a novel of intrigue, The Golden Hour by Beatrix Williams, Williams. I'm going to spell you the first name too. Beatriz. Set in the Bahamas around World War II, this scintillating story follows reporter Lulu Randolph as she investigates the governor and his wife. After a wealthy man is murdered, Lulu follows a circuitous path to an intriguing conclusion. And a historical fiction piece, Eat, Pray, Love, Indulgence. Indulge. Life is both fleeting and dangerous, and there's no point in denying yourself pleasure or being anything other than what you are. Those are the words of Vivian Morris, protagonist of the latest novel from the author of Eat, Pray, Love, serve as summary of both her character and the book. Set in New York City theater world of the 1940s, the book City of Girls by Elizabeth Gilbert, G-I-L-B-E-R-T, tells the story of teenage Vivian's discovery of the life she wants to live, one full of pleasure, fun, frivolity, and even scandal among the charismatic people who populate her aunt's Midtown theater. Humor, a classic mom's second chapter in a loosely autobiographical tale, Laurie Gelman, the author, G-E-L-M-A-N, and the book You've Been Volunteered, delivers laughs and love. Jen Dixon, the Midwestern mom with the acerbic wit and a soul cycle addiction, is back in Laurie Gelman's new novel, You've Been Volunteered, a follow-up to 2017's Class Mom. And the gang's all here, from Jen's energetic son Max to her wise friend Pizza. Many of the highlights, including the hilarious and irreverent emails Jen sends as class mom, are cribbed from Laura's experience with one of the most thankless of jobs during her own daughter's elementary school days. I'm not as quick or funny as Jen Dixon, she says, but some of the snarky emails are almost verbatim. Laurie, 55, didn't set out to be a writer. She worked as a radio reporter and television host for two decades before stepping away to raise her kids with husband Michael, the longtime executive producer of Live with Kathy, with Kelly and Ryan. As the kids got older, Laurie got restless. I always told my friends stories about being a class mom, she says. Then someone said, "That's your novel." In You've Been Volunteered, Jen is once again class mom, now for her son's third grade class. This time, she represents the ultimate member of the sandwich generation, looking after kids, including two young adult daughters, as well as parents. With her husband buried in work, Jen finds herself juggling more responsibilities than one woman should. When I wrote this book, it was like putting on an old pair of slippers. The characters are so familiar to me, says Laurie. With any luck, she'll turn this delightful pair of books into a trilogy. And a couple of beach reads. First, The Floating Feldmans by Alyssa Friedland, F-R-I-E-D-L-A-N-D. Annette Feldman invites her adult children and teenage grandkids on a cruise for her 70th birthday. What could go wrong? The Friend Zone by Abby Jimenez, J-I-M-E-N-E-Z. You'll laugh and cry through this touching novel about a complicated love connection tested by different views of family and the future. And The Bride Test by Helen Hoang, H-O-A-N-G. Kai Deep's overbearing mother brings Esma Tran back from Vietnam to convince her autistic son he's worth marrying. A lesson in love and self-acceptance. What else do we have? I'll Never Tell, a suspense novel by Catherine McKenzie, M-C-K-E-N-Z-I-E. After the death of their parents, the McAllister siblings return to the rundown summer camp where they spent their childhood to figure out what will become of the family property. But a clause in their father's will has them facing tough decisions. Natalie Tan's Book of Luck and Fortune by Roselle Lim, L-I-M. Natalie Tan returns home to San Francisco after news of her estranged mother's death. They often fought about Natalie's dreams of being a chef, so she's shocked to learn that she's inherited the family restaurant. And one called Things You Save in a Fire by Catherine Center, C-E-N-T-E-R. When Texas firefighter Cassie moves to Boston to care for her ailing mother. She becomes the only woman working at an old school firehouse. When she falls for a coworker, she realizes being vulnerable takes strength. And a very modern love story. Maddie and Theo can't stand each other, and if it weren't for their mutual best friend Alexa, they'd probably never be caught dead in the same room. When Alexa asks both to be in her wedding, they dread the time they'll have to spend together. But everything changes when they end up in bed one drunken night. Determined to keep Alexa from finding out about their new friends with benefits situation, they must parse their complicated feelings for each other to determine what it is they're doing, all while they're helping Alexa plan for her big day. This sexy, fun read from the author of New York Times bestseller The Proposal will leave you blushing. And the book is called The Wedding Party. It's by Jasmine Guillory, G-U-I-L-L-O-R-Y. And we have a couple of thrillers. Tell Me Everything by Cambria Brockman, B-R-O-C-K-M-A-N. Malin arrives at Hawthorne College and manages to hide her true nature from her new friends until a fellow student ends up dead. Lock Every Door by Riley Sager, S-A-G-E-R. Broke and freshly heartbroken, Jules can't wait to start her job apartment sitting in the glamorous Bartholomew building. But when her coworker disappears, Jules must beat the clock to unmask a killer. And one called Never Have I Ever by Jocelyn Jackson, J-A-C-K-S-O-N. Amy has the perfect family and an idyllic suburban life. Then an enigmatic newcomer threatens to expose her long-buried past, and blackmail ensues. And we have a nonfiction, Three Women, by Lisa Taddeo, T-A-D-D-E-O. The author spent 8 years investigating the complex lives of a housewife in Indiana, an entrepreneur on the East Coast, and a high school graduate in North Dakota. Their heart-wrenching stories aren't exactly light poolside reading, but they get to the crux of many struggles women face today. And from Woman's Day, the latest health and wisdom, travel healthier. Don't forget to wash your hands. This is just a bunch of tips. The spot you'll encounter the most cold and flu viruses at the airport isn't the public restroom. It's the bin you plop your things into while going through security. Scrub your hands often and use sanitizer when there's no sink nearby. Do wear compression socks. During a long flight, graduated compression stockings can improve circulation and reduce your risk of deep vein thrombosis. Heart disease can increase your chances of DVT, which happens when a blood clot develops in one of your limbs. Don't skip the sunscreen. Lay it on thick and reapply often. Sunscreen can lower your risk of skin cancer, but most people don't put on enough. In fact, a typical application of SPF 50 provides only 40% of the expected protection, according to a 2018 study. Do prep for first aid. Before you hit that hiking trail or set up a campsite, download the free first aid app from the American Red Cross. It's packed with step-by-step instructions for dealing with common issues like burns, bites, and bleeding, as well as tips for weather emergencies. And unrelated, sleep better tonight. Drink up. Adults who get only 6 hours of sleep are less likely to be adequately hydrated the next day than those who get 8 hours, new research shows. In later stages of sleep, more of a hormone that regulates your body's water conservation is released. Without enough shut-eye, you may not get the same protective effects, says Asher Rosinger, Ph.D., assistant professor at Penn State and co-author of the study. When you're short on sleep, drink extra water. Let me move now to some recipes. Here's from Family Circle, tacos con carne. If you want to add steak, shrimp, or chicken to our veggie tacos, brush with oil and use the same Cajun seasoning blend to taste. So, blackened zucchini and corn tacos is their basic. Quarter and seed 2 pounds small zucchini. Toss with 1 tablespoon vegetable oil and 1 to 2 teaspoons Cajun seasoning, such as McCormick Gourmet. Coat 2 medium ears of fresh sweet corn with 1 tablespoon vegetable oil and 1 tablespoon Cajun seasoning. Grill zucchini until well marked and starting to soften 6 to 7 minutes per side. Cut in half crosswise. Grill corn, turning occasionally about 10 minutes until charred in spots. Cut kernels from the corn. Season all veggies with salt to taste as they come off the grill. Divide evenly among worn corn tortillas and top with chopped cilantro, crumbled queso fresco, and salsa. Serve with lime wedges, and it serves four. A summer squash secret? If you get young zucchini or yellow squash, the seed bed will be smaller, and you won't need to scrape out the seeds before grilling. Next, lemon thyme chicken burgers. Zest and juice 1 lemon. Combine 1.5 pounds ground chicken with the zest, 2 teaspoons chopped fresh thyme leaves, 1 teaspoon salt, and a few grinds of black pepper. Form into 4-inch patties and grill over medium-high until the temperature reaches 165 degrees, 15 to 18 minutes, turning halfway through. Meanwhile, toss 2 cups arugula with 1 tablespoon lemon juice and a pinch of salt. Grill 4 split brioche buns, cut side down for 1 minute. Divide arugula evenly among bottom halves and top with burgers. Divide 2.5 ounces garlic and 5 fine herb cheese spreads, such as boursin, B-O-U-R-S-I-N, usually found in the deli section with cheeses, evenly among top halves. Serves 4. And tomato and cheddar slab tart. Lightly coat a 10 by 15 inch rimmed baking sheet with cooking spray, then sprinkle with cornmeal. Spread 1 pound refrigerated pizza dough in the pan so it fits with a slight lip. Sprinkle dough with 1 medium shallot sliced, 1.5 teaspoons chopped fresh thyme, and 1/8 teaspoon salt. Top with 8 ounces shredded extra sharp white cheddar. Pat very dry, some thin tomato slices, a mix of colors and sizes looks very pretty, and arrange over the cheese. Sprinkle tomato slices with 1/8 teaspoon of salt. Bake 35 to 40 minutes at 400 degrees. Top with ground black pepper and more thyme. And that serves 4. How about tuna kebabs? Sprinkle 1 1/4 pounds tuna steak with 1/4 teaspoon salt, then cut into 1.5-inch cubes. Thread tuna onto 4 metal skewers. Cut 1/2 red onion, 2 bell peppers, and 1/2 cored pineapple into chunks. Thread onto 4 more metal skewers. Stir 1 cup sweet chili sauce with 1/2 cup teriyaki sauce. Brush 1/2 the sauce over the kebabs, then spray well with cooking spray. Grill over medium until the vegetables are tender, 8 to 10 minutes, and the tuna reaches 120 degrees, 4 to 5 minutes, turning all halfway through. Serve kebabs over 2 cups, warm cooked rice with remaining sauce on the side for dipping. And that serves 4. There are other lineups you can do for the kebabs. You can use swordfish, chicken, pork, or shrimp in place of the tuna. You can use orange or mango instead of the pineapple. And you can go with snow peas, mushrooms, or cubed Japanese eggplant rather than the bell peppers. And how about pork with peach and pecan? Pit and dice 2 medium peaches. Stir with 1 cup toasted pecans, chopped, 3 tablespoons fresh lemon juice, 1 tablespoon extra virgin olive oil, and 1/4 teaspoon salt. Set aside. Brush 4 bone-in center cup pork chops, about 2 pounds, all over with 2 tablespoons evu, and sprinkle with 1 teaspoon salt and a few grinds of black pepper. Grill over medium-high until the temperature reaches 140 degrees, 6 to 7 minutes per side, depending on thickness. Let meat rest 5 minutes. Stir 1/2 cup of packed fresh basil, finely chopped, into the peach mixture and divide evenly among the chops. Serve with a mixed green salad, and it serves 4. A couple of seafood recipes from Real Simple. We've got crispy skinned fish fillets. Active and total time are both 15 minutes, and it serves 4. You need 4 to 6 ounce skin-on fish fillets, such as striped bass, branzino, or mackerel. Holy mackerel. Half teaspoon kosher salt, 2 tablespoons vegetable oil divided, and lemon slices for serving, optional. Pat your fish dry and season with salt. Heat a large skillet over medium-high until very hot. Add 1 tablespoon oil, swirl the skillet to coat. Carefully add 2 fillets, skin side down. Lay them away from you to avoid spattering. Shake skillet to prevent sticking. Press firmly on each fillet to help the skin make contact with the skillet. Cook undisturbed until the edges are golden brown, about 4 minutes. Flip and cook until just cooked through, another 1 to 2 minutes. Transfer to a plate, skin side up. Repeat with the remaining oil and fish. You can serve with lemon slices or with a sesame turmeric butter that I'll give you the recipe for right now. 1/4 cup unsalted butter, 1 tablespoon sesame seeds, 1 teaspoon brown mustard seeds, 1/2 teaspoon kosher salt, 1/4 teaspoon ground turmeric, 1 tablespoon fresh lemon juice from 1 lemon. Melt butter in a medium skillet over medium low. Add seeds, salt, and turmeric. Cook, stirring constantly until seeds are toasted and foam subsides 1 to 2 minutes. Transfer to a bowl, add lemon juice, serve immediately. And how about whitefish salad with quick dill pickles? Active and total time are both 15 minutes. Serves 4. 2 Persian cucumbers, thinly sliced. Now, I don't know the difference, but you're probably going to have to find Persian. 1/4 cup white wine vinegar, 1/4 cup chopped fresh dill, 1/2 teaspoon granulated sugar, 3/4 teaspoon kosher salt divided, 1/2 teaspoon black pepper divided, 1 pound smoked trout flaked, 1/2 cup creme fraiche, 1 tablespoon prepared horseradish, 1 to 2 tablespoons fresh lemon juice from 1 lemon, unsalted butter softened, optional, and sliced bread toasted for serving. Place cucumbers, vinegar, dill, sugar, 1/2 teaspoon salt, and 1/4 teaspoon pepper in a medium bowl. Toss to combine. Stir together the trout, creme fraiche, horseradish, 1 tablespoon lemon juice, and remaining 1/4 teaspoon each salt and pepper until evenly combined. Taste and add remaining 1 tablespoon lemon juice if desired. Spread butter, if using, on warm toasts and top with white fish salad and cucumbers, drizzling with a little pickling liquid. All right, another quickie here, not a recipe. Why cats fear water? Your cat's hatred of baths could be genetic. Most felines originated in the desert. Plus, because cats excel at grooming, they're rarely washed by owners as kittens, so they never adjust to getting wet. How to bathe yours? And there's a warning, it's a 2-person job. Line the tub with a yoga or bath mat for traction and have a towel handy. While your partner gently holds the cat, use a cup to pour warm water over the cat's back and head. Lather with a mild cat shampoo and rinse. After the bath, quickly scoop the cat into the towel and dry her off. We've run out of time for today's episode of Ladies Magazines. Be sure and listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Jean Latshaw, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. If you have comments or questions, give us a call, 919-832-5138.